somebody said to me a long time ago, think about the things that give you energy and think of things that drain you energy, relationships, friends, whatever you're doing. And working you know, in this business with Aaron really gives me energy. I mean, sometimes we're skipping down the stairs to have lunch because we just crushed the morning. So
I love that.
It does really ignite us.
Life is all about relationships. Lovers, family, body, or money. How satisfied you are can be completely explained by how you relate to things around you. This is Sophie Jaffe, and together with my husband, Dr. Adi Jaffe, we are here to explore and teach you how to maximize your relationships and achieve a happier life. Let's get ignited.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Ignited Relationships Podcast. I'm Adi Jaffe.
And I'm Sophie Jaffe.
And we're here with another couple. We love recording these episodes where we actually have two people who share a life together. And this one is somebody who's pretty close to Sophie. Like, she might actually talk to Sophie at least as much as I do.
More. For sure, more. Yeah.
Definitely by text.
Definitely. Yeah. Right. So Aaron is my manager, my friend, someone that I look up to. And we have learned so much about each other and about this crazy world of influencer life. You may or may not know that I'm a full-time influencer as well as running this podcast and philosophy. And Aaron has been by my side for my entire influencer career. And that's saying a lot. That's, you know, 4 or 5 years we figured out. And we are interviewing Aaron and her husband, newly COVID married, quarantine husband marriage. And we are, you know, they work together, they play together, they live together. And the reason we decided to bring them on is mostly because we just launched an amazing course together. It's my first course. It's all about how to be an influencer, and not just any influencer, but one with integrity. And that's something that's really
like a conscious, mindful influencer.
Yeah. Not just someone who goes out there and does hashtag ad and puts that kombucha by their face in a cheesy way. Like, it's so much more than that. And I really pour my heart and soul into being a conscious, mindful influencer. And so Aaron and I are teaching and paving the way so that other people that might want to have a side hustle or are home with their kids anyway and love posting about wellness brands, whatever it might be, this is a course that we designed and created exactly for that person who wants to take their career to the next level. So not only do we have Aaron on, but because this is a relationships podcast, we also had her new husband, who we absolutely adore, Daniel, and they work together as well. He's now president.
But they didn't used to work together. And I think that's a really interesting part of their story here is the friction they had around even talking about work early on. We hear from so many of you guys, how do you guys work together? How do you do it? And
we didn't start that way.
A, we didn't start that way. B, pretending like it's just this smooth sailing thing would be wrong of us, right? Radical transparency. And so not only do we talk about some of the kind of yin yang stuff that goes on, but to hear from Daniel and Aaron that kind of the place where their friction was in the beginning actually ends up being now their respective role. They just figured out, oh, we speak, think, and do differently when it comes to work. Why don't we join forces and we'll be that much stronger?
Yeah, and they have a lot of similarities, they realize, like their perfectionism and like all of these little things that you look to your partner, or you look to someone that you're working this closely with, and you think, oh, yeah, that's like an attribute about you that I really like. But then you realize, oh, let me actually put this into practice and figure out what your strengths are, my strengths are, where we come together, where we should be doing things separating and conquering. And so we love hearing this from them. And there are just so many nuggets of inspiration in here, including how they let go.
Totally.
You know, how they balance it all. And we're always so intrigued by that with couples and with people who work together. So yay!
Yeah, this is going to be really, really fun. A totally different kind of interaction and conversation that we've normally had. And obviously, if you're one of the people listening who actually wonders to themselves sometimes, like, how does Sophie get it all done? You're going to want to listen to this one because Aaron is part of that magic formula.
Absolutely. Enjoy.
Enjoy it. See you next week.
This episode of the Ignited Podcast is brought to you by Philosophy Superfoods. The Philosophy offers cleanses and other nutritional products that are unlike any of the other supplements and detoxification programs on the market. Why? Because they actually nourish the body with whole, live, nutrient-rich foods instead of depriving you and leaving you hungry. Have you ever tried a cleanse only to find out that you can't make it through a whole day because you're starving? Ever try a superfood shake that made you nauseous because it was so disgusting you'd rather not eat? The philosophy fixes all that with a simple set of offerings that load up your body with nutrients while actually tasting good. Makes sense, right? Each of the philosophy superfood and protein blends is vegan, raw, gluten-free, and has absolutely no filler ingredients. With over 15,000 satisfied customers, including some of the world's biggest celebrities like George Clooney, Gerard Butler, Lea Michele, and over 10 years of experience, this is the best stuff you can get. To buy some or find out more info, go to our website, thephilosophy.com.
You know, I'm just going to dive into the intro because this is definitely one of those times where we have guests that we talk to regularly already anyway. This was kind of like the point of the Ignited podcast, was to have our actual friends come on and have really cool conversations that we think other people can really, really benefit from. So Daniel and Aaron, I don't know, we were talking about this before. I feel like we've known you for like 6 or 7 years, yeah. Right? Something, it's been a long time. Aaron and Sophie, at least, having a relationship for about 6 or 7 years. Is that right, Aaron?
So we actually were talking about it today because we were talking about like, when is the anniversary of Neon Rose? And we were like trying to figure it out. So the anniversary of Neon Rose is actually coming up in April for 3 years. And so I would say probably, although it feels like we've known each other 6 or 7 years, we've probably known each other a little closer to like almost five.
Hmm. Okay. And that's when you were working at a PR firm and you were working on the brand side of the PR firm.
Yes.
And you hired me to work with Chameleon. Was that our first?
The first thing was for Chameleon Cold Brew. And I remember, this is going to be actually crazy that I'm going to remember this. I remember that we got your package up to 5K. I don't know why I remember that. I shouldn't remember the amount of every contract, but I do. And I remember Sophie, I remember actually where I was. I remember talking to her and I went outside in the hallway. And she was just like, yeah, I'll add that on to you. And I'll add that on to you. Okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll put it on my YouTube and I'll, that's fine. And I'll do this. And I was like, oh my God, I came in. I was like, you guys, do you know anything she's going to do for this? I was like, couldn't believe it. Like, I was so excited because I was like trying to prove to the agency that like the whole thing was worth it and prove it to brands, you know, back then. And Sophie was just down to be like, yeah, we'll add it all in. I mean, now that package would have been like a 30K package, but she for like 5K was like doing it all. And I was just like, hell yeah.
It's funny you say that because I actually remember where I was too.
I
like it was a big moment for both of us.
I just want to pause and plug. Literally what you just talked about was the entire influencer journey that Sophie just went on from the very, very beginning to now. Which is why you guys, and one of the reasons why we talk so much in the last 6 months to a year, is you guys put all this stuff down in a course now, in an online program that helps people who want to become influencers. And it's called The Influencer Secrets for anybody who's interested, because, you know, even as you're talking, you know, it's the funniest thing to me. I went to school, I got 2 masters, I got a PhD. I meet Sophie, she meets you, she talks about cold brew and makes $5,000 for posting stuff on that. And I'm like, I think that's like a month of work for me.
Yeah.
What the hell did I do getting a PhD?
It's fine. Yeah.
We're all good. There's zero resentment at this point. But I love that you both have known each other for so long doing this work. And it didn't start out with big money. It started out with like this way of how do we use new media to connect to brands, to connect to people on the ground, right? And it's especially, I mean, we're in the age of COVID right now, so much more relevant even now than ever before. So I love watching.
It's to connect authentically, right? Yeah. So that people can actually see, instead of, you know, like a commercial for these brands, they can actually see into your household and see Sophie really, truly using the product in a, you know, an authentic way.
100%.
And Aaron, you weren't always working with and for clients in the space of wellness, like you.
No, that was my first. That was my first kind of tip. Honestly, I was, after leaving my like attorney position, I was in full fashion. That's all I was doing. I mean, I started my own pop-up company. And I was doing everything in fashion, doing trademark law for fashion companies, interning for free for fashion companies, working downtown for the sample sales. So I was like full-fledged. I mean, fashion to me is always my love. I mean, everyone that knows me knows that like I love fashion, but when it came to the influencer space, that definitely was not the industry that I wanted to be in. Those weren't the verticals. And when I worked at that PR firm and it was really heavily health and wellness and I was working with wellness creators, it was just completely a no-brainer for me. I was like, the difference of an influencer who's in wellness is completely different than to me an influencer is in fashion. It doesn't mean there's amazing fashion influencers, but I would say as a whole, I was getting to work with, you know, moms, and I was getting to work with people that just really cared about what they were putting in their bodies and what the brands they were using. And it was just all of a sudden I was like, this is it. This is the space I want to stay in.
That's awesome. And yeah, and I think that's also what attracted Sophie to the space is she was just talking about her actual life and talking about the things she naturally does. And it started with yoga, et cetera.
And I also was I've been acting in commercials since I was 18. And that was what always felt a little funny. Like, I don't go to McDonald's, nor would I feed my children this, but I'm being paid by McDonald's to be on set eating chicken nuggets and like spitting it in this bucket. Like, that feels really weird that my face is plastered all over Germany for McDonald's, but I don't eat it. Like, that felt really weird. And then I felt like there was something wrong with me that I was so sensitive. And now I found this place in the world where it's alignment. I get to sell the products that I use and love.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so everybody's listening and paying attention, I hear from people all the time, like, oh, I wish I could be an influencer. Like, just to be clear, it's a job and it's a full-time job.
It's not just a full-time job. It's an all day 25/8 type of job. It is. We talk about it all the time because, like, you know, before I even started anything, like way back, I was like, I remember I actually started a blog. No one even knows about it because I was like, as you guys know, I'm such a perfectionist. It took me so long to even be okay. I went through probably like 3 web designers.
The first post.
I couldn't even, I was like, forget it. I can't launch this. It's not perfect. And I just stopped. Honestly, if I would have done it, I probably would have been like, who knows where I'd be now. But we talk about it that like the idea of being on, you know, as much as I'm on for my business, the idea of what you guys are doing, I don't think that people necessarily understand how much goes into it beyond just doing sponsored content. That's just a piece of it.
Absolutely.
Everything else you have to do. I mean, you can't just like go to dinner and just be like, I'm just not going to talk about or show it. Like, people need to see it. They just need to.
Yeah. It's a constant checking in. And it's also another thing, like you were saying, the difference between like a fashion influencer, just as an example, and someone who is in wellness. And like, my brand is about being radically transparent. That's a lot of pressure. Like, every day to be like, I feel like crap, but I kind of need to like put on a happy face. Oh no, I don't. And then that feels good to be honest, but also again,
it's vulnerable.
And then I feel like hungover from it. And it's a whole process to keep showing up and being your brand.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, just to post stories, just to like post what you're having for dinner and make sure it looks good. And you show this piece and you show, and you know, everyone's going to ask you the recipe once it goes up and everyone's going to ask you, like, there's so much that comes from just doing it. I mean, for me, I put up like what I made for dinner and then I have to answer like, what recipe I use. And I'm like, I don't have time to send the link out to everyone that DMs me. I can't even imagine, you know?
Yeah.
You hit on something that we wrote down in notes that I really, really wanted to talk about. Cause now I've known both of you for probably like 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be safe to say you're almost like mirror images of each other. And
the first one to say that.
No, not the first one. And what I mean, you mentioned it with the blog, right? Like, Erin, for anybody who doesn't know her personally, is the biggest perfectionist I've ever met in my life.
No, but
I'm not, by the way. he's bigger.
We rival it.
I love it. I love it. What I've seen, in you, Erin, is like, when something is not the way you want it to be, life stops. I feel like maybe you actually can't breathe. I'm not really sure. But it's like you have to fix the thing or the night doesn't show up. Like, you can't go to sleep until this thing is fixed. And
small
just,
and big.
Well, yeah, just so we're clear, I'm not talking about like your car has a dent in the front and the engine isn't working. I'm talking like a period in an email is in the wrong place. Like, and I think that's part of the big reason why you've built what you've been able to build. Number one, because the success comes from people know that with you, they pay attention to detail and you law, et cetera. But then there's Daniel, and maybe Daniel's equally a perfectionist on the other side. But I don't know, there's a difference in like the way you guys show up, and it's so beautiful and clear. And we talk so much about couples being these like yin yang, and you guys are such an embodiment of that. You know, in the middle of Insanity, I think I've heard Daniel, and it was at me, by the way, but I heard Daniel upset one time in the 4 years I've known him. And it was because I totally slipped up and didn't do something I was supposed to do. But like in 4 years, I've heard you upset once. And I wonder, I want to talk a little bit because so many people ask us, how do you make it work? What's the, and they think it's about changing who you are to be more like the other person or whatever. But you guys to me are an embodiment of almost opposites in many ways that kind of either complement each other, or I'd like to hear more. Let's even start with the working relationship and go beyond that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aaron and I are both perfectionists for sure. And I think that what's interesting about, we kind of are perfectionists in different things. So they complement each other really well. You know, before we get into the business stuff, when we were just moving into our house and we were designing our house and, you know, doing all the interior decorating, Aaron wants to make sure everything looks aesthetically, you know, perfect and look really good. And I don't know what's cool or what's in fashion. Aaron knows. But what's important to me is everything being perfectly comfortable.
Yeah.
So we always say like where we meet is where, you know, what's cool and what's comfortable is exactly where we meet. You know, from a business perspective, you know, I'm a perfectionist in systems and processes and trying to set the company up for scale and making sure that everything's streamlined. You know, Aaron is really kind of involved more in the business, making sure, like you said, that the period's in the right place and the punctuation and things are spelled correctly, because we're representing Sophie. She's representing Sophie when she's talking to a brand or an agency. And if there are mistakes in that email or misspellings or different things, that's just a reflection on not only the agency, but ultimately Sophie, who she's representing. So, you know, our perfectionism, I think other people dealing with us probably hate it, but we love it because we're always on the same page and fully support what each other want to be perfect.
I mean, just ask our wedding vendors. I mean, I think that we micromanage the timeline of our wedding to a degree that they should probably hire us to be wedding coordinators. So.
I can't even imagine.
You don't even want to imagine.
Which is what I love about it. And you know, Daniel, you said like other people hate it. I want to just be clear. I don't think that's actually true.
Yeah.
I think what you guys do is something that other people just don't want to do. I'm literally including Sophie and I in that conversation, but I'm sure a lot of the other clients are kind of like, what they say is, look, I'll be the creative. I'll be the person who thinks of ideas and puts out feelers. And then once something grabs and bites, I want you guys to make sure that the outline is perfectly done. And I think that works well together.
Someone told me in college, I was beating myself up because I have so many good ideas. I love to be creative. That's the juicy place I you know, create, and I love ideas and I love being in that place, but I'm not a finisher. And in college, one of my professors was like, oh yeah, no, that's the point of the team project, is we all have different aspects. And this might sound obvious if you're listening, but I didn't know that. I thought there was something wrong with me because I didn't like finishing things. Yeah. There's different parts to all of us that are beautiful, and knowing those parts to yourself let you thrive in the places where you thrive. So having someone like Erin be part of my team, be my teammate, is that she's the one that I can count on to do that stuff. I shouldn't be worried about that kind of stuff in an email, because that's not where I shine. Where I need to be is creating the content, making that idea come to life, thinking about how to creatively make it authentic. And then that's where you come in and finish. And so I think knowing that about yourself and ourselves actually helps us. Like Adi and I are both equally, as you guys are perfectionistic, we're not like that. We're the creatives. We're the ideas. We're just like firing on all cylinders. So we shouldn't be the ones expected to make things perfect, because we're not good at that. And we don't like
it. You always say, Daniel, and I forget, you'll have to say it, but in a business, there's three types of people.
Yeah.
And I'm, what are they, the operator,
there's three types of people in a business. And yeah, I mean, it's a book that I read. I actually forget the name of the book, but the top two is a visionary and an operator. And everyone needs you need a visionary. Think of like Elon Musk. He goes out there and he's just this visionary and crazy and thinking about the stuff. And then you need somebody to kind of help, you know, integrate that into the company, kind of like a COO in the company. Take all that, you know, piece it out, who's working on what, and then you need a processor, somebody that actually just puts their head down and, you know, kind of gets the work done. Erin's a processor. So she really, like, when we talk about the business, when she first started, you know, I wasn't really involved much. I was just kind of helping with some different things. And, you know, I was always trying to kind of give Erin advice to kind of be the visionary, be the integrator. But she really is a processor. She likes to put her head down and work her ass off. So, you know, when we realize that, we just like say, okay, Erin, you're going to work in the business and continue to crush what you do. And, you know, I'll work on the business and take care of the visionary stuff. So she still is involved in that, obviously, because there's pieces that I can't think of. She knows the business so well. But, you know, I think that's our dynamic of why we work well together. I don't have to learn every aspect of the influencer space. You know, I wouldn't know, I wouldn't even guess what Sophie should get for a story post or, you know, or, you know.
Come on, try to come up with the term.
Yeah,
I love it. Like, you don't even have to know.
I combine the two, but a feed post and a story, I wouldn't even know. I have no idea. So, but I don't need to know. I just, you know, really work on the business and how everything kind of integrates together.
This is such an important lesson for people listening, because I think what Sophie mentioned earlier is something a lot of people struggle with, and that is trying to be everything all the time in every situation to everyone. And it just never works. Maybe there's some unicorns out there in the world who can do that, but the vast majority of people are good at something. What I love about this that you mentioned, and I want to, you spoke about it in business, but I want to just expand it even a little bit more. Maybe we can expand it even to conversations about other aspects of your relationship. When you recognize what the other person's strengths are, you then let them be that. Let them be really strong at that thing instead of trying to make them other people. Because I'm assuming what can happen sometimes, and what probably, I mean, I know in our relationship it has, but I'm assuming it happened in yours as well. When you try to say to somebody who's a processor, hey, you got to think big and have visions, they try because they want to appease you and they want to make you happy. So they try, but that takes them away from their strengths. And it causes resentments and arguments and fights instead of, oh, wait, you're really good at this thing. I'm really good at this other aspect. Let's join forces. And now you've got two out of the three in the marriage instead of, you know, kind of fighting each other on trying to be all three things.
Literally exactly why it took probably so long for Daniel to be where he is now in the business. Because for me, he would constantly ask me questions about the business, like, or it could be anything. I could be complaining about like something taking a long time with accounting, and he'd start asking me questions, and I would just be like, you don't understand it. You just don't get it. Like, I can't, like, and he'd be like, I just am trying to ask you questions or learn it. And I was like, you just don't understand the business, or I couldn't explain it. And I just realized that I needed to get to a point where he was like, listen, business is business. I don't have to know exactly what you're doing every second of the day and what the space is, but I need to understand what the pain points are. I need to understand what's taking you a long time. And then he could come in and actually be able to do this work. And I was feeling like, you know, he needed to really understand what it is. I'm like, my business is different than everyone else's. And he's like, no.
And you felt like I was questioning you a lot.
Yeah, I always felt like he was like questioning me. And I was just, you know, and so it took us honestly a couple of years for him to finally be now where he is now. I mean, he was just literally coming and popping in, helping me when like things would, you know, I needed a little help. But now, I mean, he's full time. He is the president of the
Is there an example of a time where you guys either was a fight or something where the wires were getting crossed? You're like, hey, something's not working here, that made you align that way, Daniel, and know, oh, wait, we're playing different roles. Do you remember anything like that happening?
Well, in the beginning, you know, so, you know, quick bio on me. I had my own consumer branded products company that I sold a couple of years ago. And then I spent the next year kind of soul searching about, you know, what I wanted to do. And, you know, one of the biggest parameters was it needs to be something I really, really love doing. And I went down a lot of different paths. I explored different industries, cannabis, real estate, blockchain. Ultimately, I ended up in private equity, which is what I've been doing for the past, you know, year or two. So in the beginning, Erin was starting to build her company, and I was really just trying to jump in and kind of help her build some different systems and, you know, add some technology on top of it and try to kind of coach her and help her kind of from my experience of my business. And you know, just like she said, where the wires were crossed was I was expecting her like, hey, listen, if you want to own a business, this is what you need to be doing. And it wasn't fully communicated that like she didn't want to be doing that. She wants to just put her head down and work really hard on the stuff that she's great at. And so, you know, a combination of a few things over the past few months was realizing kind of where my passion is. My passion, I thought, was going to be towards this private equity stuff. And, you know, have a couple investments and, you know, hopefully they'll do well. But really where my passion is building a business and, you know, kind of in that startup mentality. So kind of in that process of kind of figuring out of really what Aaron's role can be in the business and really where I can add value, I think that's where our wires kind of started to kind of, you know, get kind of tied in properly to really see that we could really fire on all cylinders when we sit in these different roles.
Yeah. I have a hard time sitting back and like talking about like for me, like my day is so busy that like when Daniel or like, you know, Lori, who's our VP of operations and the team, like they want to talk about like bigger picture. Okay, let's step back and talk about like the strategy and the growth. And like, I'm just thinking like, I got to get to my emails. I have so much work to do. Like I can't sit back and be like, let's talk about, I just can't do it.
That's our business is like, it's urgency. There's no time for that. Yeah.
When I would try to ask her questions to be like, well, why is that taking you a long time? I think maybe you felt it's like, that you had to be defensive about it. When I was just want to know, why is it taking a long time so we can figure out
how you create a system
to deal with that.
Yeah.
We need that.
That's beautiful. So I didn't prep you guys for this question. So maybe not, but does the same sort of dichotomy come up in other areas of life? Because in business, I totally understand the three types of people, et cetera. You know, we talk about love languages. We talk about things like that in the context of a relationship. You mentioned organizing the wedding, Aaron, and sort of like the intensity of that, but that's an event. How do these differences in personality come up for the two of you when it comes to like date night or chilling out on the couch and hanging out or sex or any other areas of life that like you're still different people? I'm wondering how do these things show up?
I think it's so funny because we're currently like listening to our audio from our wedding speeches to pick out little things. And we're like, wow, there's quite the common thread. Everybody talks about literally how Daniel and I are like the same person. Like our family is, everyone is saying that like in their speech. They're like, wow, like when we met, or Daniel's family, we met Aaron, we were like, oh my gosh, this is like literally the perfect. It's not just like, oh, she's the perfect woman for Daniel. It's like, she's Daniel as a woman. Like, you know, like they make it seem like, and we're like, wow, are we really as similar as everyone says it? But we hear it so much. You know, we're both like very opinionated. You know, I am that attorney first and come from a very loud, opinionated Jewish family of very strong women. All like my mom and grandma, everyone is just like, we are dominant. Like the women are. And I grew up like that. And I have a lot of opinions, especially because my business, you know, it's my baby. But with Daniel and I think that when we shut off the work piece, I definitely soften. Like that definitely happens for us. And like, we have like, it's kind of like, I have a little bit of a different, my relationship hat on. I'm not like that, like opinionated dominate type of person. I definitely kind of feel like I definitely kind of come down a notch. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And how do you do that as someone who finds it almost impossible to do that? Unless I'm on like such a strong substance that I literally have no choice. I'm so wound up. Obviously we have three kids and like that adds another layer, but that's an ability. And I'd love to hear some tips for like busy moms that are listening. Just like you guys will have kids and you hopefully can continue to do this. So like for your future mom self, how do you get there?
Oh, I mean, Daniel will tell me like, there's so many times, you know, my office is upstairs, his is downstairs all the time. He'll write me and be like, we need to take like a 5-minute break. And I'll be like, I'm here like 3 minutes, like just a break, like get up, let's walk outside. We live right by the bay. And he's just like, let's go on a walk. Like, I mean, honestly, like I probably wouldn't take a break at all if he wasn't like telling me let's take a break. Like I don't even need to take a break. I could just keep going. But you're good about being like, you know, Daniel definitely taps into his what's the
heart
word?
Zenner,
Zen is feeling,
well, his heart
emotions more than I do. And he's such an empath that he knows even like how I'm feeling, and then he feels it. So when I'm stressed, which is frequently, he feels that energy. And now it's like we're quarantined in this home together, have this business that's growing very quickly in this new marriage, onto the next thing, you know, everything we're dealing with. Daniel definitely is one that like reminds us to like take a step back and like have dinner without our phones, you know, like I could just easily sit there at dinner and like be working or whatever it is. And Daniel will be like, put your phone down, you know, turn it off for 10 minutes for dinner.
Yeah. I'm not sure Dee could probably speak more to this because of, you know, his, you know, career and education, but you know, I've read a lot of like studies and articles about how important taking a break is, even if it's literally 2 minutes. And so I really try to encourage that whenever I see Aaron kind of at a, you know, high stress level to be like, hey, like literally we can go walk outside around the block and we come back and your next 2 hours is going to be exponentially more productive and yes, you feel a lot better. So I really try to bring that a lot to the relationship. A lot has to do with work. We don't really have a lot of stressful stuff going on right now in personal life.
We did.
With the wedding.
We had a canceled wedding.
COVID wedding.
Cancel a dream wedding and had a beautiful.
Sadly cancel our whole, you know, everything. And so that was a rough year on top of, you know, dealing with a growing company just comes with a bunch of growing pains and, you know, a pandemic and not knowing what's going to happen. It's like, is the company going to stay afloat? Is it not, you know, just like so many things happening. And then also just being locked in your house is like,
The wedding stuff though, you know, like I'm not trying to make our relationship sound perfect or anything, but the wedding stuff, the stress wasn't really with each other because we're both so insane about the perfection that we were always on the same page about what we wanted. It was, you know, working with different people and finding the, you know, venue and all those different things. But, you know, like I said, in our personal lives, those perfectionist stuff really complement each other. When we used to have, you know, get togethers or parties at our house, you know, I would always be really focused on like the music and the flow and where people would be sitting and the setup. And Aaron will always make sure like there's abundance of food. Like I wouldn't think about that. I'd throw some dips out, you know? So like, I really encourage her and I love her perfectionism and the insanity of how she wants that because, you know, it benefits me. It's not something that
no one would eat. You know? Yeah. That's Jewish mama, right?
They'd have great music and no food.
I have a question. Yeah. Daniel, did you grow up in a home where like, I'm wondering where that comes from to know to disconnect. Like for me, my parents didn't disconnect and my dad was obsessed with work. So when I kind of did the opposite, like whatever my mom and dad did, I did the opposite. Like my mom was really bad with money. So I'm really good with money. My dad was really distant. So I'm like really, you know, encouraging myself in a D. When I see a D working too much, I get triggered and I'm like, that's how my dad was. I don't want my kids to feel that. Or, you know, is it that you do the opposite? Do you think it has something to do with your parenting?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I grew up with an extremely close family. I have an older brother and a younger sister and, you know, dating back to my grandma was doing yoga and meditation. You know, she's not alive anymore, but she'd be probably close to, you know, like 100 right now. And like, she was doing it way before anybody else was. So there's been this kind of overall theme in our family to really communicate and be emotional. And, you know, we always grow up, you know, saying, I love you and, you know, telling each other, you know, about our feelings. And, you know, I always have throughout my life, any of the ups and downs, you know, my family's just always been there for me to talk to, you know, about different things. So, and my mom is really like that. My mom is really Zen. I mean, she, you know, meditates every day right now. For me, I think I realized it when I joined an entrepreneur group like 10 years ago. And I really started to learn a lot more about meditation and mental health and, you know, different things like that. So that's what I really kind of realized is how important those things are to disconnect for a short amount of time, to take breaks, to, you know, talk about how you feel, and kind of just dump that out.
I love that. I think a lot of people don't, even if they realize that it's important in life, they feel like, well, that doesn't play a role in my work life though, right? And so a lot of people separate those things out.
There's a disconnect.
And then if you like your job or you do a lot of it, whether you like it or not, if you don't allow that space even there, it accumulates and the stress and the anxiety and the literally the physiological symptoms of having that pain constantly can then translate to problems in your relationship and in your health.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of things that we do in Neon Rose where we check in with employees on a weekly basis. They fill out something kind of, you know, how they feel and where they're at and different things like that. And it is something that I want to actually do in a, I haven't really fully discussed this with Aaron, but I mentioned it before about kind of running our family, future family, like we do with the business, where we have weekly meetings to talk about stuff, check in on how you're feeling, all these different things, because, you know, there is a system and a process to running a business, and why not apply some of those things? It seems weird and, you know, not romantic or, but to do that in our relationship. But, you know, I want to be able to know how Erin's doing, what her temperature is on a weekly basis or even a daily basis. So I know if she's heightened for whatever reason, then I could support her in that way. And, you know, vice versa, if I'm heightened or stressed about something, that she could know, hey, like, you know, Daniel might be more snappy today because he already told me that. So maybe I could help support him in that way, because we do with our employees.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we've had episodes, and we'll put a link to them, about our check-in. Sophie and I do that. And, you know, it's hard with three kids and I don't know, three businesses or whatever it is at this point. It's hard sometimes to remember to do them. So I love the systematic piece to it, because the more we do it, the better the relationship is, no doubt.
Yeah. And we have our own check-in that I think we do pretty regularly when we need it. But then we have a family meeting, because we have a nanny who's in our lives and raising our children. And it's really important to me that we're aligned in what's going on and that we're caught up and that we know what's going on with her and what her system is going through and if she needs support anywhere. And then for our kids to be able to check in and let us know. And I've been talking to Adia about creating some sort of like, what do you call it? Like not a chant, but like a
hymn,
like a family motto,
like a family motto. And it's the same idea. It's like to pump each other up and remind each other our values are. And, you know, we don't pray before we eat, but like that idea of like, this is what we represent. This is what we expect of you. And this is how we hold ourselves in the world. And, so yeah, that's like, I'm on like the same lines of just that alignment.
Like we have our core values of like neon rose that we tell, like, even like, you know, right now, like when we interview people, I'm like, I tell them, I'm like, here's the core values. Like basically like, this is what it's going to be. I expect this from my employees and I expect this of my clients. And if this isn't a fit for you, that's totally fine. But I'm super transparent of like, this are my five core values. And that's what I'm looking for. But really just for anyone that like does anything in my circle.
And that expectation, same as us with radical transparency, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's one of our core values in our relationship, which has now translated to the Ignited podcast and to the couples we work with. But that radical transparency it's a non-negotiable. Yeah. And so friends that come into my life, for example, who don't practice that, if they don't know that that's a fact or they don't practice it, that's going to throw off the relationship because it's a non-negotiable in our life.
Yeah. I want to pivot to something, because we talked so much about the seriousness and the systems and the things that make us function. And I really love, Daniel, I didn't know that about your family. It sounds like the opposite of my family, but it's beautiful to have that connection and that empathy kind of built in from an early age. But we talked about, okay, so you're in and you're serious, even serious about taking the break. But we know there's also a really playful side to you guys. And I think I'm in the addiction space. And so it's always funny. Sometimes when people get around me, they like feel weird having a drink. Until recently, with weed being legal, they definitely felt weird smoking weed around me. Like, is it okay if we smoke some weed? I'm like, you can do whatever you want.
I kind of get that.
Yeah, no, totally. It's like, especially because I'm in my field, but I think in general, like when weed was illegal, et cetera. But Sophia told me this story, and I don't know that I believed it until one night we all hung out. This is like a couple of years ago now. It's like, must be like 3 years ago. Two or 3 years ago. We were at an event downtown and we're hanging out, and it was, you know, weed is now legal in California. So it was an edible event. I don't really smoke weed, and I definitely don't use edibles. I've had some of those weird stories with edibles, like everybody does, where you trip out because you took too much. But I had a small amount at this event, and so did everybody else. And I remember us standing in the middle of the street. I think it must've been like an hour and a half or 2 hours that we were standing in the middle of the street talking and you guys were so playful and comfortable. And it was so obvious that, like Sophia told me before, this is like one of your regular ways of relaxing, or had been. I know right now you're married and engaging in the next phase of your life. So less so now. But I remember, Daniel, especially you're like so relaxed and playful. I remember we had the same conversation over and over. You would come over and go like, where are we going after this? And we'd make a choice.
That's actually one of Daniel's signature lines.
Where are we going after this? And I go, I don't know. We should go to, and we come up with a name and go, okay, cool. And then 30 minutes later, you come back and be like, hey, did we say we were going to go somewhere? He said, yeah, we'd come up with an idea again for another place. After like four of those events, I think it must have been literally an hour and a half or two, standing in the street, eight of us talking. We ended up going to like Nice Guy back in those days where you could actually go to a place and sit.
Oh yeah, you ordered all the food.
And you guys ordered like three pizzas and like four appetizers. And what cracked me up was you told me this story, but when we were sitting there, you're like, oh, this is kind of just what we do in the evenings.
We
get pizza and we get high and we just like enjoy ourselves. And
yeah,
I know.
I miss those nights.
And it was so, I mean, Sophie talked about how do you scale down. Like I said, I don't really smoke weed. Weed makes me like paranoid and anxious and weird. But it was such a cool example of a couple who is high performing. Like there's stoners out there and they just, just smoke weed all day. And like the best they can do is put their shoes on and find a clean shirt. You guys are not those people. Like I work my ass off and you guys make me look like a bum half the day. And then to see you guys show up in that way in the evening and be able to just like drop it to this other place was really, really cool. And I think it's so important for couples to have a way to connect regularly. So I'd love it if, like, how did you guys find out that that's like a meeting place for you guys? Was it ever, did it ever not work, et cetera? I'd love to hear some about that.
Yeah. So interesting.
A couple questions.
And like I said, with my family, we were all very open and honest. And my parents talked to me early on when I was young about drugs. And, they just said, we're not going to tell you not to do it. We just want you to tell us if you do it or if you want to do it, just so we could talk about it. I had my first drink when I was 16. I didn't drink so much in high school, but I never smoked weed because I had friends in high school that were true stoners. And all they wanted to do every weekend was smoke weed. And I was a soccer player in high school and wanted to play soccer and hang out with girls. And these guys wanted to get high and play video games. It just wasn't my jam. So I kind of always had a feeling of a negative connotation towards weed. And then in college, I kind of got to college and I went to Santa Barbara, which is like, one of the capitals of weed smoking. And I also didn't smoke weed in college. I thought about it. All my friends smoked weed. I kind of thought, well, if I do it and like it, then I'm going to want to keep doing it. And if I try it and don't like it, then what was the point? But I had always said that at some point I'm going to try smoking weed and I'm going to do it with my future wife. That's just what I always said.
Oh, damn.
And
it's so sweet when we're talking about
it. Yeah. And then I met Aaron.
I didn't even know it was this good of a story.
And then I met Aaron and, she said something about weed and I was like, I don't smoke weed. And I almost felt like it was a deal breaker. Not that Aaron was a stoner or anything, but casually she would smoke just like,
Trust me, nobody's going to confuse Aaron with a stoner in her life.
So
I also went to Santa Barbara. So
that's crazy.
So about 6 months into a relationship, like I told her, like, I want to smoke weed and I want to do it with you. And it was like a big deal for me, like, probably a 14-year-old kid. And, we did it and I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And cause I just have never been a big drinker. I don't like being hungover. Yeah. It's like a D you said, like, hey, Daniel, you're asking what the next place is like, I have ADD and I like to like move around a lot. Even our first date, I think we went to three or four different places on our first date. I just like to move around a lot. So, when I smoked weed, I started to smoke or take edibles and it just kind of really chilled me out, which I really like. So, kind of where Aaron and I, meet on that is like, we both work really, really hard in the day. And, although like we like, having a drink or so, I definitely like to kind of just chill out. And it's awesome. Interesting, just as a quick tangent, the CEO of MedMen, I heard him speak one time, Adi, and he talked about, I want to get weed to a point where somebody comes over and says, hey, would you like a drink or would you like a joint? Like kind of just get it to the point where it's at that. And I think for me, once weed started to become legal, I started to kind of remove that connotation of really feeling like it was a drug and more of something that was like a drink and, I preferred over drinking.
Sophie feels the same way you feel about drinking versus weed.
Yeah.
And I think different people are different.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at everything in the world as a tool. And I love the story of how long you held off because you just knew for yourself that if this was going to be a thing, you wanted it to be a thing in the right context and with the right people, not the mistake most people make at 14. They're like, well, I'm uncomfortable with myself. I don't like my life. I'll solve it by doing a drug, drinking whatever, and just hanging out with people who are also uncomfortable with themselves, not solving any problems, but just getting lost in video games or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's sure. a really smart decision. That's beautiful.
And it has
and
a
I
lot.
Like too, yeah. the, like I've been saying to Aaron since towards the beginning of our relationship, like I just, maybe it's my age. I don't know what it is, but I hate going to a bar where it's so loud. You can't hear each other. You know, everyone's drinking. Like, I'd much rather sit on the couch with you guys in mm-hmm. Joshua Tree mm-hmm. and just hang out and talk. And, you know, yeah. sure, smoking weed or not, but smoking weed definitely adds to that versus us getting drunk. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of where my life is at right now.
Well, the one time I saw you at a bar, you were eating all the pizza on the counter.
Not getting a drink because you were
not getting a
high.
Drink. Yeah. So I can support that this is not something you love doing in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. I think also it just speaks to the alignment, and I do feel like you mentioned this earlier that it's a form of self-care, Aaron, and I want you to speak to that for anyone listening, moms, not moms, women, powerhouses, boss ladies, like it's a form of self-care. It's not, you know, and so I'd like to hear a little more about that.
Yeah. Like Daniel says, like we work so hard. I don't like turn off my computer at 6 o'clock. Ever, you know, it's just not what I do. I, you know, I tell my employees, I'm like, listen, like I expect a lot from you guys, but you're going to see that from me too. Like I'm not coming into the office, you know, at 11 and leaving at 3. Like that's just not me. You know, I am with you working my ass off all day long, the same way you guys. I'm available Friday nights. If something happens, like I'm there. So I'm very, very involved in my company today as I always will. That's just how I am. So when it gets to be 8:30 at night and I'm still like, you know, maybe I'm telling Daniel, like, this is happening, this, and I'm stressed, like, you know, I could have a glass of wine, but to be honest, that's not really gonna do anything for me. I'm probably gonna feel like, okay, I just had a glass of wine. Why did I just drink that? I didn't really need that. Like, and it's just, that doesn't give me the same type of feeling of like, okay, maybe I'm just gonna have one hit mm-hmm. and now I'm gonna lay on the couch and I'm actually gonna like stop thinking about that client issue, or I'm gonna stop worrying about whatever it is. And we're just gonna like chill and I'm gonna watch HGTV and like all of a sudden I'm gonna like check out for like that hour. And all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I can like breathe again. Breathe. And we'll see, like I'll be like up here. And then all of a sudden I could just be like, okay. And listen, if something happens and someone emails me, like I can handle it. Like I'm going to get right back into what I need to do if I need to do that. But like, it's, you know, for me, it's that end of the night period. Like I work till as late as I basically can. And then, you know, we get that hour of like time to just have that moment together on the couch. I mean, that's really where it is now, especially how it is now and how it's been for a while. We do prefer to be, we are definitely more homebodies. I wasn't like that before Daniel. I was definitely like, I was out all the time. I lived in LA. Like I lived in Venice. Like I was at Circle Bar all the time mm-hmm. on Abbot-Kinney. Like I was out partying with my girlfriends. And Daniel's a homebody. When I met him, like I wanted to go out and do things all the time. And he's just like, no, let's just like sit and chill. He's always like, just, we need you to chill. And that took me a long time because I'm not really the type that just like chills, but I do actually there are times that I think that when we like do take an edible or whatever it might be, that is time where I actually can like come down because that's
decompress. So for me. Yeah. And to the ability to know how to decompress within your own system. And if someone's listening and it is having a drink or it is taking a bath or it's knowing more about yourself and your own system. If a D knows if he takes an edible, he's going to get paranoid. He shouldn't do that. For me, I don't feel that way. I feel like I can decompress and layers come off of me when I smoke a little or have an edible. Whereas like sometimes I don't want to sit with myself alone in the bath. That's not the thing that's going to serve me in that
Never.
Moment.
I can't even take a bath.
I think for me, what's important, especially you kind of know my background on weed, is that I'm really cognizant to never use weed to like escape.
Exactly.
So like, you know, it's rare that like, we're just like, oh, we need to smoke weed because we're feeling this way. I really try to like, be like, you know, like sometimes at the end of the day, if we're stressed, instead of just going and smoking weed or taking edible, we like, let's go take a walk first and not use it as that, because that is the fear that I ultimately have for myself, is starting to use it for that. You know, certainly it does help me chill out and stuff like that, but I try to use some, you know, Eastern medicine ways to solve things that are going on in my life versus using weed for that. You know?
Well, and also knowing, like, if you think about Eastern or Chinese medicine, they're using herbs all the time for things. That's not all they're using, but it's about balancing your system and balancing that yin and the yang.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can use substances. Sometimes we can use an external force to help us to get there, but tuning into ourselves and knowing what it is that we need for our individual bodies on that day.
Yeah, 100%. And we do. I mean, we definitely, you know, there'll be times we're like, okay, well, we need to smoke, but it's just always just having that in my mind to not make that the norm. Just, you know, the rare times when we're like, okay, like, I think we needed actually to chill out tonight, you know?
Yep.
Well, I think also you guys both love accomplishing and achieving. So that's, it's not offsetting that at all. And I think that speaks to, you know, I think a lot of people, Aaron, as you're describing, especially in this age of COVID, but a lot of people are listening to you, listening to Sophie. And yes, you know, being an influencer is work, but I always, it's not like working in a coal mine, and it's not like being a construction agent, worker. It's not like that type of work. And I think I saw you guys as we were creating this course, and the play between you and Sophie of this, okay, how do we bring the energy and bring the bubbliness and the influencer sort of like mentality that people are all about, along with all the knowledge you have as a lawyer and a manager for so long? And we saw it, right? You shot it one way and then you ended up going, hey, that's not quite the level we want to do it at. So you shot it again, totally from scratch, completely all over again. I think it's got to be one of the best first courses anybody's ever put out there, not in terms of just the look, but the structure and the amount of stuff that you put in there. Mm-hmm. Because, and I think you've already had like 60 or 70, maybe even 80 girls already participate in it. And we haven't even launched the thing fully, which is pretty amazing to think of.
Yeah.
There is this shift. There's this shift in the world. COVID made it even more extreme, I think. But there's a shift of people being able to be the masters of their own fate and like take their phone, grab a camera, do something they're really, really passionate about. Do it from home. Yes, you might be working till 8:30 on your phone, but do something that you really are engaged in. Speak to a huge audience. I mean, so there's almost like 250,000 people that are being influenced by what she's talking about, and have this community that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you would have needed a PR firm and three attorneys and $500,000 backing you to be able to get to. And I think there's just been huge shift. And what I love is the energy of both of you together is not just the, hey, come be an influencer and make money. And it's not just the, you know, we got to get the contracts down and you really have to understand what you're doing and lay everything out and have the systems. You guys were able to create something together, and seeing the two of you do it was really, really magical. And so I think moving away from your relationship, Daniel and Aaron, I think it'd be really cool for maybe for people to hear about how you two work together. Because Aaron, you bring that energy. You bring that 8:30 p.m. Hey, we got to nail.
We both have that though. Yeah. The cool thing is there's a lot of things that Aaron and I are very similar in. And some we have lots of things that we're really similar in. And then we also have our strengths. And we've learned so much over the years where, you know, where I end, Aaron begins, and vice versa.
Yeah. Work ethic for Sophie and I has always been on the same page. And I think that's a big piece of what drew us together in the beginning, was because I could count on Sophie to hustle her butt off and she could count on me to do the same thing always.
Yep.
So that like hustle mentality of both Sophie and I, we've always had that, still have that. I will always be like that, that like we, you know, Sophie, like I say, like Sophie just almost just doesn't say no. She's good. Like, even if I'm like, she should be saying no to this. She literally does not have the bandwidth for this. Like, I'll be on calls with like her now or team, you know, her team's like gotten bigger and they'll tell me these things. And I'm like, she can't, how can she do that? That's just too much right now. Like there's only 1 week left in the month. And like, they're like, well, Sophie's not going to say no. She still doesn't really, she's going to figure it out. She's going to do it. She's going to pack it in. She's going to still have her family and do all the things. So,
and I do it because I'm supported by my team, which you helped create. So because I felt so supported and held, and this is true in any relationship, whether it be business, personal, like because I felt so held by you and I trusted you to get it done. If I say I'm going to do this thing and it's due tomorrow, you're going to stay up around the clock with me and help hold my hand through it. And vice versa. You know that if I say yes, I'm going to follow through and I'm going to bring my A game and I'm going to go above and beyond as I always do. So yeah. I think that even when we first started that first conversation that I also remember, I was driving down Lincoln and I was just leaving a yoga class and I pulled over to talk to you and I was so excited. And I remember that first conversation and it was the beginning of us. And it was the beginning of being like, oh, someone believes in me and sees my spirit and I get to be myself while I bring that power through. And that hasn't changed.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, right, nothing worth achieving is ever easy. I don't believe there's ever anything that you can do that is big that doesn't require a ton of work. But there's a difference between doing all your work at home, around your kids, in your backyard, than, oh my God, back in the day, especially people would be traveling 60, 70% of their time and constantly on the road and never seeing their everyday life, right? We get to travel and make that part of the work. We get to, I don't know, go hang out in our backyard and that can be part of the work. And there's a magic to that that a lot of people have a hard time appreciating because either they don't believe it or they've never actually seen it happen for themselves. And I've seen you guys do that. I mean, obviously, Erin, you've done that. How many influencers do you guys work with?
Well, our exclusive roster now is over 30 people.
So dozens and dozens of people
that's just exclusive. We have like even larger, you know, we have brand clients now. We officially launched our brand division today. Started today. And we have a massive list of hundreds and hundreds of influencers that we work with and book for a deal. So, you know, we're super selective. You know, we could have hundreds and hundreds of exclusive talent, but we unfortunately, you know, are very selective on who we bring onto the agency, who, like I say, when I talk about the core values, we actually look at that for our potential clients. And we make sure that like everybody's going to get that same attention that I gave to Sophie on day one. I have to feel that whoever we bring on at agency is going to still get that same feel of being heard, having that communication, having that time with your manager, not feeling like you're one in hundreds that like you're just on a roster and they don't, like bigger agencies are. And that to me is so important for Neon Rose.
Yeah. And that's why this course was so special because Erin can't take on every single person at every single level. And I can't coach every person that wants to become an influencer. But what we did over the last 2 years is create something that truly we worked so hard on. And it's all of our secrets. We can't reveal them here, but you know,
we can't make this a 12-hour podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
But 7 vaults and one.
Yeah, it's a big undertaking.
But this is something that we're both so proud of because we did pour our hearts into it and we did pour all of our information and our knowledge and the girls who are coming out of it from that first round on Zoom, you know, quality was terrible, but it didn't matter because the quality of the information was so potent.
The video quality.
The video quality wasn't great.
Yeah. That thing right now, it looks like, I don't know. It looks like.
So professional.
People say it looks like Sophie and I are like on a talk show, doing like our like a morning show.
When I show it to people, because, you know, we're looking for people to kind of help, you know.
Support.
Put it out to, you know, a cold audience. Every single person we show them the course is blown away. I didn't even realize not only how good the content was, but also just the quality of the production of the course until I started to talk to people who specialize in it. And every single one of them is just like blown away by it.
Erin would go into a dark cave and cry herself to sleep if she saw most of the stuff that gets put out in the world as informational products. She'd be like, I give up. I can't do this anymore.
That level of perfectionism hits at all points of my life. But this course, I mean, when you said 2 years, I'm like, oh my gosh, we can't believe how long. I mean, this idea was born after literally one day where I ended up being on stage with you for an event that I got thrown up last minute when you're like, why am I on a panel about management without my manager? And it's just all influencers who have management. Doesn't even make sense.
I pulled Erin on to stage.
She pulled me on and she was like, Erin's going to come on. I'm like, what? And like all of a sudden, I knew I'm in like getting my hair done and, you know, taking a big vial of CBD. I'm like, oh my God.
I remember Aaron calling me and telling me like, holy shit, I got
to
do this.
I'm about to go on.
And then after she's like, oh my God, that was amazing. I loved it.
Biggest adrenaline rush. And I was like, I always love teaching. I was a tutor in law school. It was actually one of my favorite things about law school, honestly, was teaching. I always thought now I could just be a professor. And then I found out you had to like publish all these books. And I was like, okay, never mind. So I forgot, didn't want to be a professor anymore. But I love the aspect of teaching. You know, I get reached out to by so many influencers that are just nowhere near ready for management, but just always asking questions. And, you know, this idea, we came to your house and I remember, Adine, you were like, you guys should be doing a course. And we were like, yeah. And then, you know, here we are now. So, you know, thank you for lighting that fire that, you know, led to where we are now with this course, because, you know, I also had no idea what that was going to entail.
Yeah.
At all.
That's a good thing. Cause you never would have done it.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
I probably added a bunch more onto it that you guys probably didn't even think we were going to need to do.
But the thing is, it's our course. So it became it needed to be. And now the people that take it are so blown away. And I just, you know, we're going to close up this little section, but for anyone listening who's interested, just know that this is for all different levels. This is that we had people actually start at zero followers and now they've gone up to over 1500 in a matter of like four months. We've got people that started their accounts and now are getting paid by brands, not just trades, but paid by brands and getting these paid collabs. There's a Facebook group that's part of this community where you get to connect with other influencers. Like, I don't have that. I've been in the influencer world for 6 years. There is not a community I can go to and pick people's brains and ask them questions. And it's real, that in itself, the Facebook group. And then we've got this add-on where you can have one-on-one, or not one-on-one, but like semi-private one-on-ones, private, you know, it's conversations with Aaron and I, where we answer questions about the course and go deeper and really come to like, what's new and fresh right this moment. So we're here to answer any questions about it. And yeah, Daniel, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that there's so much in the course that people could learn, but also that group coaching call could be really impactful, because then they get to talk to you guys. And, you know, I think for me, like when I joined my entrepreneur group, one of the things that I realized was that if I ever had a question about business or whatever it was, I knew the people I could get the answers from, but it was the questions that I didn't have necessarily. So what's really impactful for these group coaching calls is you get to hear the questions from other people that are doing the course. It wouldn't even be a question that you would even think to ask, but you get to hear that question from somebody else. And then obviously, you know, Sophie or Aaron answers it. So that's what I think is so impactful about that, is kind of the group aspect, you know?
And we have men that joined. We have stay-at-home moms that joined or getting trade and paid deals now. We have girls right out of college, in college, just trying to make some extra money, you know, sitting in their college dorm. Why not post some recipes? We have like really everything across the board to people with 100,000 followers that were like, wow, like sending me all these messages saying like, this was so powerful for me. And she's been doing this for as long as I have. So just know that there's nuggets of information for everyone. And we're here to answer any questions that you might have.
Yeah.
All right. So we ask all of our guests 5 questions. The first one is, and you guys can answer together. You can answer one at a time, or just one of you can answer. What's the best advice that you've ever received?
I think probably I've really only had one real job early on in my career. And the chief marketing officer of that company, he always seemed, when we were in meetings, like, I don't want to say it like this, but he always seemed like the dumbest person in the room, because he would always ask questions that seemed so like elementary. And I talked to him about it one time and he said, you know, you always want to be the dumbest person in the room. You shouldn't always act like you know everything, because, you know, there's no benefit from that. So to me, that's kind of been the advice that I've always played by. I always try to surround myself with really smart people. I try to really listen as much as I can. It doesn't benefit me to just talk about all my knowledge. You know, it might help other people. I certainly enjoy doing that. But when I'm thinking about myself, I want to listen more and listen to other people's perspective. Because even when you look at the relationship of, you know, Sophie and Aaron, you know, you guys really have your strengths and weaknesses. You know, Sophie's the creator and, you know, the influencer, and Aaron knows how to manage and negotiate deals. And you guys recognize that. and, you know, respect each other's opinions when you're collaborating on different deals and stuff. So, you know, for me, I always try to do that. I love that advice. It's advice that I pass on to other people of really surrounding yourself with people smarter than you, or if you can, or if they're not smarter than you, then at least just hear what they have to say, because you can always learn something.
Love that.
It's beautiful. I love it. Yeah. You guys have had a lot of them recently, but what's been one of your proudest moments to date from any area of life?
For me, I would say, and it's not maybe not necessarily like one exact moment. Yes, launching the course was a very exciting moment, but that kind of goes to my, for me, honestly, it's the milestones that I am seeing with my company, where it started with me on a laptop on the couch to now, you know, today being on a call welcoming a new brand director and realizing we now have like 11 employees and we're hiring and we're growing. And it's literally every time for me when I see these like weekly Zoom calls with my team, that I'm just like, I cannot believe this is my team. And it is such a humbling experience to me. Like, I never feel like, oh, I'm just the boss and this is what it is. Like, every time something happens, we, you know, a big deal, a new client sign that's exciting, you know, launching a course, all the things, launching a brand division, all the little things that keep happening for me really are my proudest moment. And I can't pick one, because I feel like when I do, like, something else happens. And I think it's really just the excitement for me of just all the milestones with Neon Rose that keep happening. And I feel so, I know that my blood, sweat, and tears, along with obviously everyone that's helped me, have gotten the company where it is.
That's beautiful. Mm. I love it. That's so cool.
It's what's the thing that Rochelle says when it's she's talking about gratitudes, or she'll kind of, let me try and think of what it is, but it's like a thank you and kind of a thing, where it's like you're honoring what's here, but also welcoming in what's next. And so it's both. It's like really being present to the gifts that are right in front of you and really being grateful for that, but also being like, show me what's next. That's what it is. It's kind of an essence, like, universe, show me what's next. Give me what's next. I'm here for it and I'm ready.
Yeah.
I like that.
Totally. Yeah.
If we flip that, what's been one of your hardest moments?
We actually have a kind of a similar hardest moment. And I say, to be honest, it's more of a chapter probably than a moment. And, you know, I can take mine, Dan can say his. For me was making that decision to leave my very stable, well-paid job as a lawyer and go into something that was unpaid and unknown and really didn't know, and spent several years with feeling like, did I make the wrong decision? Having to ask my dad to pay for my rent all of a sudden, like feeling like, what am I doing? Like, I feel like my friends are like, what is she doing? This is so ridiculous. Like feeling like, am I ever going to be able to say to everyone, be like, wow, look, I did it. Like all of that was worth it. So it was such a long, hardest chapter for me to really get to a point and really trying to figure it out and constantly pivot and like having, taking, you know, meetings and lunches with everyone that I could talk to and just like get to a place where I felt like finally felt, you know, happy and satisfied and like proud of what I'm doing, because it took a really long time. I mean, it took way longer than I would have thought, you know, leaving that job. It was not the best decision, but in the end it was, because it led to me to where I am. So I think for me, it was really just more of that very uncertain chapter of my life of, what's next and what I hope I get to be. I want to be able to look back and tell the story like now, be like, I remember when I was literally, you know, living in Venice and had a roommate off Craigslist and my dad had to literally pay my rent. And I wanted to be able to tell that story and be like, now I have 11 employees and the company's growing and I'm so proud of it, because I've had those really down times where it wasn't so easy. It wasn't handed to me.
Yeah. And that trust muscle and just knowing you knew best, that, that didn't matter what people thought. You were sleeping on friends' couches at a certain point. Like it didn't matter, because you felt it within you and you trusted that voice. And that's really to me, one of the most important things about intuition is like, you knew, didn't matter what everyone else was thinking and saying.
I kept being like, I think I know. I hope I know. My parents were like, at some point, like, are you going to start, you know, working? Like, so.
Daniel, did you have a similar one? She was pointing to you.
I sold my company on, I sold it like September of 18. Within a few days of selling my company, I also had a massive flood in my condo building, where I owned a condo in downtown San Diego. So within days, I was rushed out of my house. We left literally in the middle of the night.
Never came back.
And actually, I never ended up going back because the building was literally destroyed for months. So within days, I lost my home. I lost my, you know, I say I lost my business. I sold it, but I lost my business. I mean, I was going to an office every day for 10 years at that place, and then my home. So I was in a very kind of weird place of, you know, anything that was comfortable for me was no longer there. Aaron and I were kind of in this temporary apartment. And I was also trying to figure out what I was going to do next with my life. And I was really, really adamant on finding something that I was really going to love. And it took me a year to really find, you know, where my place was going to be in private equity, find a house where we're in now, which we love. And then furthering that and knowing where my real true passion is honestly working with Aaron and, you know, growing this business together. And that's really what you know, excites me.
Awesome. How did you know, just really quick, how did you know how, because I remember that time period and you weren't necessarily doing well, like from my observation, and like your relationship was suffering because of it. Like you were kind of lost, but you trusted again. You were like,
well, did you trust? Or was it just really hard?
You know, it was a tough place for me because instead of selling my business and, you know, popping champagne, it was just a weird time for me. And it definitely challenged our relationship for sure because, you know, now we were both home all day long. We hadn't been home together. I was going to work and either she was home or going to an office when she worked at that other company. So it definitely was challenging. You know, I struggled a lot and communicated that to Aaron and, you know, we had conversations about it. And, you know, it was not in a great place. I wasn't saying I was depressed per se, but it just wasn't in a good place at that time.
I think just my observation is I appreciate that you didn't just put a Band-Aid over it and get a different job just to like,
yeah.
You know, like adamant. You were like, I'm going to hold out. You, that trust that I'm talking about is like, I'm going to hold out for the right thing for this next phase of my life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I had just, you know, life is short. I actually had a friend that passed away a few years ago, and it just made me realize, and I lost passion for my own company. It's one of the reasons why it was a good time to sell it. That I just realized I really, truly want to do something I really love. And I was adamant on doing that. And I went down a lot of different paths to find what I was going to do. And, you know, the most recent thing with the private equity, I thought I was going to love it, but it ended up not really being my full passion when I started working with Aaron and actually get back to the excitement of running and building a business. I realized this is what I love. And, you know, we get to work together, which is awesome.
It's amazing. Our next one is all about self-care. We hit a few self-care rituals, which I love. Anything you want to add that just helps you? Like you mentioned meditation. Do you have a meditation practice, or is it more like getting outside? Like what are some things you do to kind of be able to be the bosses that you both are?
Well, for meditation, it's not something that I'm consistent with. And I really, really want to get consistent with it because I know the benefits. I know people who do it, who swear by it. So our forms of meditation are the quick, like let's take a walk around the block. Let's do you know, a longer walk around the bay. So those are kind of more the meditative things that we do. I mean, I'm sure you could tell my other self-care things that I moisturize daily, obviously.
Clearly.
So, you know, with Aaron being in the health and wellness space, we have a lot of products here, as you guys know. So she's always
giving me good stuff. Yeah. I mean, for me, honestly, it's just, you know, like I do love, like, although I wear sweatpants every day, I actually love getting dressed. You know, that is like, clothes is still like my, just love it. You know, I find like I told Sophie the other day that like, I fell victim to every Black Friday sale, like email that I got, like, and I'm like, why am I buying these clothes? I literally don't go anywhere, like at all.
Yeah, but also your sweat outfits are like super cute. Like you could be posting those on social. They're not just like big baggy, you know, Abercrombie sweatpants.
So for me, I think self-care, you know, it's just getting things done. I mean, it seems very cliche, but like, if I can just like have a day where I can like go get my nails done, like get my hair done and, you know, all the things that I just like, I just feel so much better, even if I'm sitting at home and doing nothing. So I'm definitely not the girl that's taking a bath. Like that we said, like I get in there, I always think Daniel's like couple times so sweet, like drawing me a bath thinking this is like, oh, this is like, and I'm like, get in there and it's like 2 minutes in and I'm just like, I got to get out. I'm like, do you want to sit here with me? He's like, no, no, this is for you to take a bath. And I like, can't sit alone. Like, I mean, I'm the same in yoga, but once it's Shavasana, I'm just like ready to get up. Like I can't, I'm sure you guys are shocked, but so for me, I just, you know, self-care for me is more just like those things I do for myself rather than like sitting and with myself. I need to be with people. I can be with someone 100% of the time. I never need any alone time.
You charge up by being around others.
Definitely.
Extroverted. Yeah.
We call this podcast Ignited. If you had to say in a sentence, what ignites you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, I would say probably two things. One is I love seeing my nieces and nephews and, you know, my sister's dog. I mean, I walk into that house and I'm like screaming and running around. I mean, I literally act like a 6-year-old when I'm with them.
They keep saying they wish they could hire Daniel to be the babysitter right now because he is like the magic touch, but like, it's not, like you said, it's not just like the two kids. It's like the dog gets more love from when Daniel comes over. Like he's like pulling at the, he's so right. It's literally his family, but very specifically the niece, the nephew slash dog.
Yeah. Well, you're amazing fun. With kids. My kids love Daniel. Daniel also is a magician on the side for anyone that's listening.
If anyone's interested, you know, we also rep him. No. Yeah. Daniel is, he's just a guy who does magic. He's not a magician. Guy,
yeah. What about you, Aaron? What ignites you?
For me, two things in a sense too. I think for me, when I'm like, like Dan always says this, if I go out with like my girlfriends, if it's like a group or it's one, I literally am having the best night of my life. And it's not to say that I don't have those amazing times with my husband, because I do, but the energy of just literally having a couple of cocktails with my girlfriends, it's like mind blowing for me. Like it is everything for me. You know, I grew up like I was, you know, in college, like I was the social chair every single year. Even the year I graduated, I was the social chair when I wasn't even college anymore. I'm like, I am the girl that like plans the parties and plans the events, and having that like girl time, which is, I definitely feel like this year has been so hard for me to not have that with, you know, being in the house and having all the restrictions of seeing people. So I would say for me, like from a personal thing, 100%, it's just that like girl time. And then obviously for me, it's just, like I say, it's the same thing. It's every milestone with the company, like it's just fueling me. Like I was never, like Daniel says, like he's the business person. Like he knows what's next. He does the business. I'm just kind of, I'm along for the ride for that part of it. But every time I do something that I feel is contributing to like the success, it's just so exciting to me that like, this is my company and like totally excites me and ignites me.
Yeah. I mean, that to me also, I mean, that's to me where, why I found what I'm passionate about is, you know, working with Aaron on this business. I mean, it really, you know, somebody said to me a long time ago, think about the things that give you energy and think of things that drain you energy, relationships, friends, whatever you're doing. And, working, you know, in this business with Aaron really gives me energy. I mean, sometimes we're skipping down the stairs to have lunch because we just crushed the morning. So
I love that.
It does really ignite us.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. It brings you together and then ignites your relationship too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
We love you.
Thank you guys. We love you guys. This was so fun. Well, now we have to do it for real, like at, you know, at a dinner.
Yeah.
Like, at some point it'd be nice to meet in person again. That would be beautiful.
I would love that.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you everybody for listening to the Ignited podcast. We are so happy to have you along for this ride. Please go and subscribe to this. Leave us a review. We love hearing from you. And if you want more, don't forget to go to ignited.com where all the podcast episodes are available with show notes and so many of the little details and links from each one of these interviews. And you can look at all the future events that we have going on, all the things that make Ignited so special, even beyond this recording. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week.